opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Good morning and welcome to Our House here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and I cannot tell you how delighted I am to be here. Why do I say that? Well, if you're a regular listener, which some of you are because you've commented and sent me your well wishes, I was sick for the past 2 weeks, and my wonderful production guy over there, Wes, had to fill in for me, and we pulled up some interviews from previously that were really great, and he kind of interjected in the beginning and interjected at the end so that you guys could feel like you were getting something a little special, because he is special. Actually, he's great on the radio, so I really enjoy when he cuts in and gives me his 2 cents, so thank you for helping me out. I had bronchitis and laryngitis, and I was a mess, and you may hear it in one of my pre-recorded sessions because I tried to stall as much as I could, and I was having a hard time. So anyway, we have a great show today. We actually have two things happening. The first part of our show, we're going to be talking about what to do with your freezing pipes and how to handle them, and some interesting things that you can do to prevent them in advance of freezing. And then we're going to go into some things that we can do when they freeze. And we are so lucky that Chase has sponsored our show today, Chase Bank, and Matt Gramata is going to be dialing in, actually pre-recorded. I'm faking it here because I was sick. And we're going to be talking about what you can do with your holiday budget and helping your kids get off to a good start going into the holiday shopping in the new year. Now, I know that's not a home improvement fix and facts kind of thing, but if you have kids that are saving to, you know, go to school, do a trade, looking, you know, for opportunities, I think it's worth listening to. Just a little holiday magic. Speaking of holiday magic, happy Hanukkah, and oh my goodness, Merry Christmas. I mean, we're what? Oh my gosh, 4 days away, 5 days away from Christmas, and I won't be able to see you guys till after the new year now. I mean, I cannot believe that 2022 is coming to an end. In many ways, I feel like that is a good thing because I think it's been kind of a shaky year for a lot of people. Just my opinion, of course. Mostly everything here is my opinion, isn't it? Anyway, I am so excited to have you guys here listening to me again. Remember, you can always follow me on Instagram and Facebook under Home Improvement Fix and Facts. And you can always call into the station if you have any questions at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306 on this beautiful, bright, sunny day right before the holidays. So let's jump into our show, especially for those of you that are having tons of holiday guests at your house. You're doing a little more entertaining than you thought. That, you know, or weren't thinking would put an increase on your water pipes. Additional pressure comes from increased usage. And in 2021, people used 8% more indoor water on Christmas Eve. 8%, that's kind of a lot. And 3% more indoor water on Christmas Day than they do on an average in December. And this increase can lead to water leaks and other costly issues if homeowners don't take the necessary precautions. And many of us don't. Many of us don't take the precautions until it's time. So we are going to be checking in just a minute with Eric Adler, who is the chief strategy. Let's see if we can talk too. I can walk and chew gum though. Eric Adler is the chief strategy officer at Flume Delta Labs. And he is going to be joining us to talk about some precautions that we can take on our home. And then I will get into, after I'm done with Eric, I'm going to get into some tips for you on how to beat the freeze, because we are expecting some super, super chilly weather coming up. Remember, they said this is going to be one of the coldest winters ever. So we want to know what we can do to keep the temperatures on the indoors and our pipes running smoothly while the temperatures are dropping outside. So let's see if, hey, Eric, are you there? Welcome to Home Improvement Fix and Facts.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have you. I am really curious, before we get into why we want to be aware of our pipes and all the water flow during this holiday season, what does your company do?
So it's a great question. We make a product that essentially monitors all the water usage for your property, whether it's indoors or outdoors. It detects leaks throughout your home, lets you know how much is being used for showers, for toilets, for dishwashers, for irrigation systems. All the data for water usage on your property is what we capture.
Do you work with a lot of the faucet companies and water heater companies with this technology?
We actually don't work much with the faucet or water heater companies. Who we primarily work with is actually water utilities all over the country and really in the West, where utilities and homeowners are trying to reduce water consumption and essentially kind of tackle drought situations that are happening. And so we work with utilities to distribute Flume to homeowners and reduce consumption on customers' properties about 15% on average once they install Flume.
Okay. So tell us how this can affect our water usage during the holidays, using too much water or having too many guests.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, during the holidays and during, you know, any time there's a lot of people at home, your water usage always increases, right? And anytime there's increased usage, you can be at risk for leaks happening in the property, especially in cold areas. You can be at risk of frozen pipes that are occurring and pinhole leaks that are happening or burst situations. So Flume is, you know, monitoring all that consumption and, you know, essentially notifying customers if there is an issue. But one interesting thing that we saw is during kind of the heat of COVID, when, you know, everyone was stuck at home, we saw water usage like double because everyone was sitting at home and working from home. And so there was all sorts of problems that were occurring in customers' homes because water usage had now increased twofold from what it was before. So, yeah, you can see pinhole leaks and things like that occurring with increased usage.
So how does this technology actually work? What would a consumer do to make this work, or how do they hook it up? Help us out, because I'm really here.
It's really easy to install. So a lot of, you know, most of the time you think of like plumbing and water usage in your house, it's kind of scary because you think you have to like cut pipes and have a plumber come out and do this complex installation. That's not the case at all with our product. It essentially is like a Fitbit for your water meter. It just is a sensor that straps around your existing water meter. And your water meter is located generally out on the street under a lid. That's what the city uses to monitor your usage. And you just strap the sensor right around the meter and it captures all that data that's going through that meter. So it takes about 15 minutes to install. And then we report all that data to your phone in an iOS app or an Android app.
Okay, so if you saw this increase during COVID and you expect it during the holidays, are there some precautions or some things that a consumer or one of our homeowners would see that would alert them that there was an issue?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the key benefits of the product is the leak detection capabilities, right? And anytime there's abnormal usage, like it could be a toilet that's running, or it could be an irrigation system that's broken, or it could be an actual like catastrophic damaging leak from like a water heater exploding, right? We're going to notify you of that via like a little push notification on your phone to say, hey, a leak has been detected somewhere on your property. And then, you know, once you see that, it's pretty easy to figure out where the issue might be in the house. So, we're constantly monitoring it and we're notifying whenever there's an issue or abnormal usage happening.
So, and you said like toilets running. So could this all actually be something that would happen? You have a big party at your house, you have 20, 30 guests at your house, constant use of the toilet, constantly flushing. Is that an area where we would see this happen? Like, would it, if it was super cold, I'm not trying to break it down.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if it's normal, like if it's just being used consistently, that's fine. But what we would actually detect and notify customers of is like a flapper that is stuck, or let's say like a kid left a hose on outside and the hose was just running, or a irrigation valve has blown out and there's just water pouring outside. Those are the things we focus on where it's really usage that shouldn't be happening. And we're going to notify you of that. But what we also do is we can detect all the fixtures that are happening in the home. So if it's a toilet or a shower or a dishwasher, we can pick out that usage and we can tell customers exactly how much is being used for each one. So, you know, dads love to yell at their kids for taking too long of showers, and we can tell them exactly how much is being used for each one of those individual showers. All that data is available.
Check my showers. It's a lot of water usage. Eric, do you do for people that are in a more rural area that maybe have septic and well water? Do you have anything that can help them there?
So for customers with well water, we actually do not work on those homes yet. We require an actual water meter in order for the sensor to go around. So we're mainly focused on, you know, homes that are within a municipality or within a city, smaller properties. At some point, maybe we will have a solution for the rural communities, but for now, we're kind of focused on that 70% of the homes that are attached to a meter.
So what about multi-use homes, like say condominiums or high-rises or apartments that have, you know, 3 or 4 or 50? Can you put one on your own home, or how do you work with a building like that?
Yeah, so as long as there is a meter on the property, whether it's 1 meter going to, say, a duplex or a fourplex, or it's a meter for each individual apartment, then the system can work on that. So as long as those are individually metered units, all you have to do is put a flume on each one of those units, each one of those meters, and then you can capture all the usage, all the leak notifications for that individual unit.
And if you were to be in a situation, multi-family, because we do have a lot of that here. We do have a lot of DIYers that like to, do their own stuff. Is this something that they install themselves, or do they have to get permission from the building, or is that relative to each individual property?
Yeah, typically you can totally install it yourself. You know, we sell a lot of our product on Amazon, on our website. So it's distributed all over the country, right? And regardless of where customers are, they install it themselves. There's never really a professional installation involved. Okay. And we rarely see problems where like the city or the HOA or something like that says, hey, we don't want it on this meter. So yes, for the vast majority of times, just install yourself. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. It's about as difficult as lifting up a lid and strapping it around the meter, and then you're up and running. So pretty straightforward.
Is this anything that would help you save on your homeowner's insurance if you reported you had something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, if you're a customer of AIG or Farmers or even State Farm, I believe at this point, you can get a discount on your policy for having Flume installed because it's reducing the risk for those insurance companies, right? And that discount varies. It can be 3%, 5%, 7%. It depends on what state you're in. But yes, there are discounts available for having it installed, and it can be pretty significant for a lot of areas.
Yeah, definitely worth a phone call if we install this. Now, this is a silly question again, dealing with multifamily, because we do have a mix of clients here and listeners here at Home Improvements. For multifamily units, can you put a lock on this? Say all of your water meters are in the same area, and you put one on your particular unit. Can you put a lock on it?
That's a good question. we haven't really seen a situation yet where like one gets stolen and moved to a different location. Because if you have just the sensor, you can't really do anything with it once it's connected to an account. But the short answer is no, we don't have a lock for it right now. But if you wanted to, you could put some sort of lock on it if that was a concern, and you could protect it. Put a bike lock around it.
I know it's a silly question, but being here in the Philadelphia area,
it's like that things could happen. I totally get that.
So do these units that monitor your water usage and let you know if there's a problem, do they come in different sizes? Is there a different price range?
It's one size fits all, essentially. So regardless of how big the home is, whether it's an apartment unit or a duplex or triplex, this same sensor can be applied to all those different meter sizes and kind of water usage amounts. It really does not matter. It's pretty agnostic. And the price point is reasonable. It's $199 on our website, on Amazon. There's no installation cost. You don't have to have a plumber come do it. And there's no recurring subscription that you have to pay for it either. So it's $199. You're set. You're done. And you can, you know, protect your home, capture all that usage. We try to keep it pretty affordable.
So our DIYers can definitely put this in themselves and install it themselves.
Yeah. If you're a DIYer, this is no problem at all. And we have a pretty robust support team that helps customers too. So if there's like an issue during installation, we have an in-app chat feature that they'll reach out to you and ask you if you have a problem, and you can chat with them to solve it.
So they know before you ever know there's a problem.
We do. So if you take too long setting up Wi-Fi, we'll ping you and say, hey, you know, let us know if you need some help, and we'll try to help you out.
And what percentage of increases do we see? I read that in 2021, more people used 8% more indoor water on Christmas Eve than like any other time, and 3% more on Christmas Day. That's a lot.
Yeah. There is. I mean, anytime you have gatherings and people home, you know, there's a major increase in usage. What we find really interesting is, you know, especially on like the West Coast and Southwest where drought's a major problem, is, you know, what happens in the summer months when people are turning on their irrigation systems or, you know, things like that, or watering their lawns or filling their pools, and huge amounts, you know, like 70% of your usage goes to outdoor usage. And so we're always monitoring these big usage events and notifying people of huge kind of wasteful activities and how they can improve that and become more efficient. But same thing with people coming to your house, you can start seeing what is really inefficient in terms of like toilets or showers or dishwashers or whatever. You can kind of see what is efficient, inefficient, and change your habits based on that.
You're making me think in advance. You already have me in summer because I'm not a winter gal at all. So I'm already thinking that this interview with you would also be timely to run during Memorial Day when people are getting ready to open up their pools and they have all these big barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
Again, more people at the house.
Yep. And when things kind of fire up in the spring and summer, that's when all these problems happen, right? Like when you start filling up your pool after it's been, say, shut off for the winter, or when you turn on irrigation systems after it's been shut off for the winter, that's when like all these issues happen, is firing things back up. And so that's a common time when there's all sorts of weird events occurring.
So how does your system know which items are hooked up to it? Like, say I want to put a hot tub on there. Maybe I want to put a pool, you know, maybe during Christmas time I have, you know, like I said, a big party. I've got three bathrooms here. Everybody's using the bathrooms. So does your system like know what's being used, or do you have to individually go in and hook up each item? I'm trying to understand. Yeah,
it's a totally good question. So it started out very early on with a very simple way of monitoring. We just were capturing total usage, but as we captured more and more data, we were able to pick out each one of those events. And so you can imagine, like, each time your shower is used, there's a certain pattern associated with that, or each time your dishwashers run, there's a certain cycle, or your washing machine, there's kind of like a signature with each one of those events. And we can pick those out and say, that is a shower, or that is a toilet, or that is an irrigation system. And so we know over time exactly what is occurring in the home. And immediately when you install the product, we can pick out that information, let you know where water's going.
Okay. So we know when we get a water bill, they tell us what our usage is and, you know, how much more water we use from one month to the last and, you know, what the increase in rate is. But it sounds to me like your system can let us know in advance if there's a bigger, huger, oh my gosh, how childish, a bigger increase in water. Do you notify us like, hey, today you use 20% more water than your average usage?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can notify you on a daily or weekly basis, like if there's a spike in usage and say, hey, you know, this is way out of normal. And we see that all the time where like something goes wrong or something's left on, and normally it's 200 gallons a day and now you're using 2000 gallons a day, right? And so that can be a pretty expensive bill, especially like if you're, say you're like a landlord and you pay for the water on properties, you know, you want to know if there's a spike in usage and, you know, no one knows about it. So yeah, we're capturing all of that. And one of the major goals with customers is making sure there's no like huge surprises with extravagant water bills and things like that.
Right. And as I've told our listeners in the past, if you do have an issue with pipe breakage or a flapper that doesn't stop and your toilet keeps running, a lot of the local water companies, if you can prove that you've put software on there to fix that or you've fixed the problem, will actually reimburse you, listeners, a percentage of the money. It's usually a one-time fix if you can prove that you fixed
right.
it. This sounds like an amazing, inexpensive way for our listeners to monitor what's going on in their house, especially if they're going away on vacation. What happens when you're away on vacation? And so and you get no notification.
Yeah, that's a big one. So yeah, I have like a property that's said, that's up in Oregon and I'm down in California and I'm always monitoring it while I'm gone. Typically, if there is a notification, it could be like a small leak that's happening somewhere. We don't have a shutoff valve. There's no shutoff valve in the system. And the reason we don't have that is because it's so expensive and so difficult to install a shutoff valve, right? So we try to do it very affordably with just monitoring. But if you are gone, if there's an issue you're notified about, we actually have a feature that lets you like notify a neighbor as well. So you can actually hook it up and say, hey, your neighbor can get a notification if there's a leak and they can go, just shut your water off. Or you can just call someone, have them come turn the water off for you. But yes, even if you're not there, you'll get a notification that a problem is happening.
And this way you can tell them exactly where it is, which is
right,
great.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. So where would our listeners and our DIYers go for more information?
Yeah, great question. So just to learn more about the product or to buy it, you can go to our website. It's flumewater.com. And also if you want to look at reviews and look at what other people are saying, you can also check us out on Amazon, where many customers like to shop, just like myself as well. So just search Flume Water and it'll pop up right on Google for you.
And that's F-L-U-M-E, for those of you that don't know how to spell flume, because it happens.
Yep.
have that like brain fart where your brain's not working. What other technology is your company working on these days?
We're mainly focused on really optimizing this one product. But in addition to the actual hardware and the consumer side of the business, we really work with the utilities and partner with these cities to help them reduce consumption and manage their district and help with planning. And so we have kind of an enterprise side of the business where we really try to work with cities to tackle these drought issues and help solve major water problems across the West.
That's so cool. Eric, is there anything else that you think our listeners should know at this point besides how to contact Flume?
No, I think you nailed it with all the questions. I really appreciate the time. The interview has been fun.
Cool. I appreciate your time. I'm excited about this because I know there are some, minor things in the industry, through plumbing supply houses that can monitor your water heater if there's a leak. So to be able to have something like this that can pretty much monitor your whole house and give you notification is kind of a win-win for our listeners. So I appreciate your time so much.
Likewise. Good talking to you.
Listeners, we've been talking to Eric Adler, Chief Strategy Officer at Flume Data Labs. And I urge you all after my show is over to go check it all out. Thank you so much for your time, Eric. You've been wonderful.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
Come back again. Bye-bye.
So full disclosure, that was pre-recorded. You could tell I was still a little sick, a little congested with bronchitis. So we try to get these as live as we can, and that was supposed to be one that was live. But not knowing how it would turn out because of my bronchitis, we recorded it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and then we're going to go over some tips on how to beat the freeze for your pipes, because you're probably not even thinking about this, but when it gets to be at the temperature alert threshold at 20 degrees Fahrenheit, especially if you have uninsulated pipes, you could have some major problems in your house. So we're going to give you some tips on how to fix it and what you can do to beat that freeze and what you can do if it's already frozen. And we'll also, if we have time, address the septic system and freezing pipes there. So we'll be right back with more of Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
It's been a long December, and there's reason to believe.
Oh, yeah. It has been not really that long of a December, because I can't believe we're almost over.
I know. It's really actually been a quick December.
Hasn't it, though? I mean, did you feel like this year's just flown by?
I feel like the last 3 years has flown by. I think the last time I actually have an inkling of memory is like the beginning of 2020.
Oh, before which COVID.
I think a lot of people can probably feel that.
We're going to be starting to call that BC.
Right.
Yes, my memory goes back to the BC times before COVID. Oh, thanks, Wes. You're wonderful. So research conducted by the Building Research Council at the University of Illinois, like I said, shows that the temperature alert threshold is 20 degrees Fahrenheit if you have uninsulated pipes running through an uninsulated space. So let's take some time to discuss some things that you can do. Once the temperature starts dropping outside, you really need to take measures to keep your pipes warm and your water running. And you don't want to have to deal with those expensive bills. It can cost you a fortune, especially if it's an emergency, because then plumbers come out and they charge you like time and a half or ridiculous prices. So here are some steps. This is according to Consumer Reports, some steps that experts recommend that may go against your overall instincts of conserving water and heat, but the extra expense is nothing compared to, like I said, the hefty bill that you will get if you have to call in a plumber. So, and just a reminder, you're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and a lot of these are DIY things for all you DIYers out there. These are not DDIY things, hashtag DDIY, don't do it yourself. These are things that you can actually do. So the number one thing that you want to do is try to keep your garage doors closed at all time, especially if you have any water supply lines in your garage. If you do have water supply lines in your garage, make sure that you wrap them. There's a lot of foam that you can get at the big box stores. I say Home Depot because they visited us last week. But the big box stores. But you really want to make sure that those pipes are wrapped. Open kitchen and bathroom cabinet doors to allow warmer air to circulate around the plumbing, especially if your sinks are on exterior walls. Of course, if you have children in your house, small children, you want to make sure that you remove any harmful cleaners or household chemicals that you keep under the sink. I still don't understand. We talked about this before on the show, why we keep them under the sink where kids can get them. But any plumbing that is on outside walls, you know, if you're going to be gone for the day and you don't have to worry about pets or children, open those cabinets to let the heat circulate through your house and get in there. Let the cold water drip from a faucet that is being served by exposed pipes. Running water through the pipes, even at a trickle, helps prevent pipes from freezing. So even if it's just the slowest of drip, if it's a bathroom that you don't use very often, again, maybe leave those cabinets open in that bathroom, but a small drip. Keep the thermostat set to the same temperature during the day and night. again, during a cold snap, it's not the time to set back the thermostat at night to try to save a few bucks on your heating bill. You really need the consistency to keep those pipes from freezing. So don't be one of those people that is turning the heat off and on, and turning it down. Now, we know that that helps us save on oil and electricity. So maybe you might want to do it in moderation. Maybe you just might want to turn it down 2 or 3 degrees if you have to. But you definitely, if you are planning to be away during the cold weather, if you have a trip planned, if you're going overseas for the holidays or for the new year, leave the heat on in your home. Do not turn it off, and never, ever, ever, ever set the temperature lower than 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So hopefully you have somebody watching your home when you go away to check on things like that. Or like Eric told us, you have a water leak sensor that can let you know if there's a water leak. But if you're going away, you absolutely have to make sure that you don't let your heat get below 55 degrees. For the long term, added insulation to the attics, the basements, the crawl spaces, all those areas will help. Insulation will maintain higher temperatures in those areas. We've talked about this before on the show about insulating your attics and your crawl spaces in your basements, and you want to prevent drafts. You want to make sure you seal the cracks around the windows, the doors, and the sills, and wherever the house rests on the foundation if you're having a problem. I talk about this all the time, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But we don't always think ahead, and all of a sudden it's going to be, well, this morning it was in the 20s. But if it gets below 20 degrees, you could have problems if you haven't addressed issues that you already knew that you were having. And technically you should be addressing these issues in the fall before things get frozen. So how do you thaw frozen pipes? And this is really important. If you turn on a faucet and it's only a trickle comes out, you might have a frozen pipe. And if you suspect the pipes are frozen, be careful when thawing them out, because if a pipe has already burst, the water will come out flowing and flood your home. And that's according to Consumer Reports. If a pipe is broken, turn the water off at the main shutoff valve, which is usually at the water meter or where the water enters into your house, the main water line. If the water is still running and no pipes have burst, you can take these following precautions. If you suspect a more serious problem, of course, you have to call a plumber. But turn on a faucet. As you heat the frozen pipe and the ice plug begins to melt, you may want the water to be able to flow through the pipe. So running water through the pipe, as cold as it is, will help melt any ice that is in the pipe. Apply heat to a section of the pipe using like an electric heating pad, an electric hair dryer. The heating pad you can wrap around the pipe. A hair dryer, a portable space heater, keeping it away from any flammable materials, or wrapping the pipes with towels soaked in hot water. You know, you soak them in hot water, you wring them out, and you wrap the pipes. As tempting as it can be, do not use a blowtorch. Do not use a kerosene or propane heater, a charcoal stove, or any device with an open flame. The higher the heat, it can cause damage to the pipes or even start a fire, which we know this is the time of year where a lot of that can happen. Apply heat until full water pressure is restored. Check all the faucets in your home to see if you have any additional frozen pipes. Because if one pipe freezes, the others, there's a very good likelihood that others can freeze too. And if you can't locate the frozen area, or if it's not accessible, or if you cannot thaw it, you are probably going to have to call a licensed plumber. So not something you want to do. Like I said, especially in the thick of the holiday season, no plumber's coming out at 12 o'clock at night to help you for a minimal fee. They're going to like over charge you. If you need supplemental heat, you can add a space heater to the room where the pipes might be at risk. Don't recommend using a space heater in a bathroom, though. If you really need one, make sure it's plugged into an outlet with a ground fault circular circuit interrupter. That's called a GFCI switch. Don't use an extension cord. We talk about using extension cords a lot here and when not to use them. Don't use them. Some space heaters have GFCI plugs, but there were two that were rated really well according to Consumer Reports. The DeLong H, and you'll have to re-listen to my show on the podcast because we're there on the podcast later on today, as well as Odyssey and, of course, live. But the DeLong HVF3555TB is only $80, and a radiator style DeLong, which is a TRN0812T, you're going to just have to listen to my show to get them, that's only $60. So if you want to add a little extra warmth during a cold spell, those are some of the things that you can do. So if the temperatures start to drop below, your pipes might be at risk of bursting. And what do you do? I mean, like, I'm trying to help you. Let me see if I can help you find frozen pipes. I mean, that we just had a message right now that just says, how do you know where the ice is in the frozen pipe? Well, that is a tough question. So let's start with some of the basics of how to do that. How do you find frozen pipes in your home? Well, narrow down the possibilities by gently, as they say, unthaw to avoid potential damage. Water expands when it freezes, causing your plumbing to be under a lot of pressure already. And there's so many pipes in your house that are crisscross. Every sink, every shower has its own piping. There are pipes that come in from the outside of your home into your house. There can be hundreds of feet of piping inside your home. It's like a web of metal or PVC. And how do you find it? Well, the most likely area is where you want to check first. Any type of plumbing, whether it's the PEX or whether it's copper lines, whatever it is, can freeze during inclement weather. So the first key is locating frozen pipes is to narrow down the possibilities. Areas that don't get a lot of heat, like your basement, your attic, unused rooms of your home that you might close off, that have pipes that run along exterior walls, crawl spaces, are the most vulnerable. You can grab a flashlight or use your hand to feel the pipes to see if if you can locate the area. That is one of the ways to do it, is just touch and feel to feel how frozen they might be. Turn on all your faucets, and I'm hoping these tips will help you because, this cold weather's coming. Turning on your water can also help you narrow down your search. If the pipes in one area of your house aren't working, it's likely that the freeze is near a split in the main line that goes to that section of your home. If none of your pipes are working, it's most likely that the frozen section is near or right next to your main water source. I told you I can't talk today. That's probably because I had laryngitis and I couldn't talk for a couple days. Know what you're looking for. It's not always easy to identify when a pipe is actually frozen. So here are some common signs of frozen pipes. So if you have a layer of condensation on the outside of your home where pipes usually are, a white area, frozen condensation, that's what you're looking for. If there are small surface cracks that you're seeing around areas where pipes are, if you happen to see any bulging or swollen pipes, they just don't look right. Or if there are odors coming from your pipes or from the sinks that lead to it. And this is a common problem with septic systems as well, odors that come from the pipes. If you feel like you've located the pipe, but you don't see any obvious signs of any ice on the exterior, use your hands to check along sections of the pipe to see if you can find the frozen spot. And there might be multiple areas that are frozen, so check the length of the pipe. you know, getting under your sink, feeling those pipes that are on the exterior walls. Gently warm your pipes. I said about running water through it. Don't rush to unthaw the pipes all at once in that area. You have to do it carefully and gently to unfreeze them. And like I said, you want to try to wrap those pipes. You want to put a heating pad on there. You want to use a blow dryer. Any method that you can use to try to thaw those pipes. Superheating your pipes too. You really have to be careful, DIYers. It's not something you want to just set it up and leave the room. You really want to stay there and watch it. Superheating your pipes can cause them to burst or compromise them permanently, which can cause thousands of dollars to repair. I mean, thousands, as well as being a safety hazard. So those are some tips that you can possibly look at. Just, I highly recommend that you know where the main shutoff valve is to your house. Shut off the main water leading to the structure, the area. If you have a shutoff valve on a toilet, maybe it's the lines that are on the outside that come to your toilet. Maybe it's under your bathroom sink. There's usually a shutoff valve on those, so you can turn them off at that connection as well. This will help reduce the pressure on the frozen pipes from causing any flooding, causing them to burst. And this is particularly important if you go away. And as I told you on a previous show, I have a friend that shuts off every single toilet in his house when he goes away for any longer than a week. He literally turns them off. If a frozen pipe is exposed and visible, like I said, use a hairdryer, space heater. Those are things that don't have a lot of risk to them, except the space heater, you really have to be careful to keep it away from walls, and you really want to be careful in the bathroom and avoid flammable materials, anything like that. And examine. That is the best advice that I can give you. If you can't find a leak, this is the time that you have to call a plumber. But you can do a little work yourself. I mean, keep in mind that when pipes thaw, they could begin to spew water on the inside of a wall if a pipe has burst. So keep that in mind as we're getting out of the winter weather, which isn't going to happen for a couple months yet. You might start to see a wall getting wet, and that could be the sign of a pipe that has thawed and has burst inside your wall, which can cause some property damage as well. There are a lot of services out there that have water restoration services as well as plumbing services that you can check into. But I like what our friend Eric Adler told us about the Flume system, which can detect leaks in your house. So I think that is really important. I wanted to talk about, I only have a couple minutes because I have to talk with Chase, because they really want us not to blow our budget during the holiday shopping, and they really don't want us to blow our DIY budget. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. But it's just one of those things that you have to take your time and be careful with. And it's the same thing if you have a septic system. If you have a septic system that is freezing, this is not the time to pump your septic system. It's just not the right time. You should have done that in the fall or the spring or the summer. But your septic system has a whole nother set of rules. A lot of what I've already said. But snow and soil compaction, make sure that the drainage field is not getting too frozen, which of course can happen. There's a lot here in overworking your septic system, especially if you're having a lot of guests and planning to have a lot of visitors during the holidays. And while this is a great time for us to enjoy our family and friends, the more people you have in your home, the more your septic tank is going to be used than it normally would. You're going to be doing more laundry. You're going to be doing more dishes. So I also suggest that especially with a lot of children and females in the house, maybe you might want to put a little sign up that says, you know, please don't flush anything down the toilet. Don't flush those wipes that you use for babies. I don't care if it says it's septic safe. Don't flush them down your toilet. And personal care women items, you know, like tampons and things like that, should never, ever go down the toilet. Even regular tissues and paper towels, you should only be flushing toilet paper down your toilet. And that should be a rule for all time, not just then. If your home's septic system does happen to freeze during the winter season, you're probably going to have have to call a professional to help you identify and fix the issue if the problem can't be fixed quickly, so that you can use your septic holding tank and thaw it out properly. But the same rules apply for the pipes around your home. And if you are getting a smell in your house during the winter, and we noticed this in our master bathroom, I'm almost running out of time, so I've got to fix this real quick. But if you're noticing a smell only during the winter, it means that your septic lines, those pipes are buried too close to the surface, the ones that take the water and the waste away to the septic tank. So I hope these tips help you. And of course, you can always go to the podcast and listen more. So real quick, because Chase Bank has sponsored our interview today, I have Matt Gramata on the line, and he is actually, he's not on the line. I'm lying to you. I pre-recorded this. He is the head of family and student banking at Chase, and he is available right now to help us understand some of the things we can do to keep up with taking care of our finances and setting financial goals for the new year for all ages, young and old. And I thought it was important because this is the time of year when we can blow our budget on home improvements, getting our house ready. And I think it's really great that we have an opportunity to talk to him for a couple minutes. So, hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having us.
Good. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, I feel like as the holidays get closer, people tend to overload on their budget. I feel like as they get closer and they're not prepared, they spend more money. I don't know if that's true or not. Yes. So how can families work together for a holiday budget? There's still time left, and install good money habits and start the next year off on a better pace.
Right. Good money habits start with a conversation. Around the dinner table, kitchen table, however you talk to your family. So given that we're so close to the holidays, if you've got a budget, now is a great chance to check in with it, see how much money you have left. If you're more like me and you still have some stuff to do, purchases to make.
Or me.
There are some great sales out there. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that their bank can also help them save money. For example, at Chase, we have Chase Offers, which allows you to apply discounts to either your Chase credit card or your Chase debit card, and you can save on purchases with your favorite retailers.
Mm-hmm. I have to say I love my Chase card.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
So how is it that you save? Can you check beforehand? I mean, I know how this works, but let's tell our listeners. Can you check beforehand what stores are offering discounts, or do you just automatically get discounts?
You know, you set me up perfectly. You check, you see what stores, you see what discount, you apply it, and then you save the money automatically when you purchase.
Right. Perfect. And how can parents encourage their kids to be financially independent and learn the importance of money?
So we believe that kids learn best in two ways, by doing and by having conversations in the moment. So we built Chase First Banking to be a teaching tool for kids a little bit younger, right? So 6 and older. It comes with debit cards for kids and controls for parents. And it gives the kids an opportunity to, yes, get their allowance or manage their chores, but also learn the value of money by doing, and allows parents opportunities to talk with their kids about it. Now, for older kids, we have high school checking, which is co-owned with the parents, so they continue that monitoring while kids are still learning. And if your kids are off at school, there's Chase College checking. With those two accounts, they can use Zelle to send money to friends and family. They can check their balances. They can make payments all from within the Chase app. And parents still have a chance to have those conversations with their kids, no matter what age.
So let's talk about our high school and our college kids. Do you set a limit or do you set a blocker on there so they can't accidentally or on purpose overspend?
So while we do that for younger kids with Chase First Banking, with our older kids, we really, really rely a little bit more on the discretion between parents and kids to set what are essentially voluntary boundaries. So no, the kids can spend what they have or what they need, but what a great opportunity for parents to have those conversations and talk about putting money away and thinking about how to spend mindfully on their needs versus their wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a whole lot of sense. So with our younger ones, I remember having a bank account, a savings account when I was really little. I think I was as little as 8 years old and used to put whatever money we had in there, which was really fun to watch it grow. Do they still get interest on their accounts?
So we have great accounts that bear interest. Chase Savings is perfect for kids. And in fact, they can be the sole owner of that when they're 12 years old, or you can open with a parent when they're younger.
Oh, wow.
And then Chasers Banking really is about helping them learn how both to save as well as how to use money carefully and mindfully.
Mm-hmm. So a great suggestion is going over the financial budget and what your younger ones want and what you're planning on buying and where you are. But it's also a great opportunity for younger ones that might get money for Christmas to turn around and open up an account.
Right. And what a great opportunity to have a conversation about putting money away. And if they want something, they want to spend on something, having a conversation, right, about how to be mindful about a purchase but also still put some money away.
Can we as parents set limits on that account?
Yes, you can. In fact, you can set overall limits. You can even set limits by the store. So perhaps your tween loves to go to get coffee. Well, you can have a conversation with them about how much they can spend at that coffee shop or that store, that restaurant, and set limits right there.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you're highly recommending, I mean, this is what you do with Chase Bank. You're highly recommending that we sit down with our children, even our grandchildren, and talk about a bank account and a debit card and how they work and what they do and the importance of saving.
That's it, because it allows kids to ask questions, right? And there's so much fear about the unknown. Just starting the conversation can make all the difference.
It sure can. I mean, that's a lot of information. I did not know Chase offered this for our youngsters as well as our, you know, middle school and high school and college students. I had no idea. So this is definitely something that I would like to discuss with some of my kids, my grandkids. Are there advantages to going to Chase over, say, somebody says, well, I'd rather go to this bank locally? I mean, is there an advantage?
You know, I would never comment on
you can't.
People's choices. I feel very proud of the offerings that we at Chase have because we spent so much time with parents and kids learning about their needs and what would really help them in the moment. And so I feel very proud of what we have for parents and kids, whether it's Chase First Banking for younger kids, high school checking, or college checking.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I see where you say setting financial goals for the new year at any age. When you talk about setting financial goals, are these goals that the children want to accomplish? Are these goals that the parents want to accomplish? I mean, I'm sure they're things that we do together. But what do you mean? Like, let's see if we can save $10 a month. Let's see if we can save $100 a month. I mean, what would you consider to be a financial goal?
So I think it's very personal to each family. Start with what is the outcome you're looking for. Maybe you're saving for school. Maybe you're saving for a kid's new car or even a bike or a PlayStation or whatever. Having a conversation about what is that goal. Then you can work backwards and you can say, okay, so how much would we need to put aside to reach that goal? Look, obviously, saving for a PlayStation is so much different than saving for college, but it starts with being intentional. Right. And uh-huh. Having a conversation together.
I love it. It's just so important. And I think we miss the mark all the time with our children. So I'm so glad that you've been able to be here and tell us more about what we can do to get our family involved and get them on the correct financial, I call it financial freedom path.
We do, too. Thanks.
Awesome. Is there anything else? Like, where can we go for more information, Matt?
Absolutely. For more information, folks can visit chase.com/student banking.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing this very important decision right before the holidays and something that maybe we could put it under the tree as a gift, like let's open a bank account together.
What a great
and
idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Maybe we start them off with some money under the tree and then say, this is for to open your first bank account. Hey, I'm liking that idea.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Happy holiday.
So I hope you got a couple tips there. Those aren't just tips for kids and our tweens and our college kids. Those are tips for you listeners that you're not spending too much money and blowing the bank on your DIY budget for things that you want to do. I have to get out of here. Time goes so fast when I'm on this show. If you missed any information or you want to hear it again, make sure you go to the WWDB podcast. You can listen to any of my shows there. And I just want to say, happy holidays to everyone. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, any holiday that you celebrate. And I will see you in the new year. So let's make it great.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home.